We come together every fall. Football season's on us, right? Whether we're a fan of high school or college or professional, or whether we're not even a fan, we're very well aware that football season is here. But are you a fan or a disciple of Christ? Because to be on the team, it's a very much difference. Fans get to watch. Fans get to identify with the team. They get to wear the colors. They get to identify with the players and with their jerseys. They get to brag the next morning how great their team did yesterday. But they don't have to carry a cross. Fans don't have to do three-a-day practices in the August heat. They get to enjoy a three-hour tailgate once a week. Fans don't sweat and bleed for the team. They get to stay at home and watch on TV in the air conditioning or the heat. Fans don't give up the entirety of their life for the team. And when they're winning or losing, fans can be a fair-weather fan. They can join another team. But teammates never quit on their team. Christ is asking us a very pointed question today on His team. Are you a fan? Or are you a disciple? He had plenty of fans. He had huge crowds following Him all over from city to city, listening to His every word, cheering Him on when He was pointing out the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, when He called them whitewashed tombs, beautiful to look at on the outside, but rotting away on the inside. They loved Him. When He called out those who lived by the law, but didn't accord their lives to their words, the fans loved them. When He pointed out the evil in His day, the fans loved Him. But today, He stops and He turns and He addresses the crowd. And these words cut to the core, because He's also addressing each and every one of us. If anyone comes to Me without hating father or mother, spouse, children, even your own life, you cannot be My disciple. Oh, these words cut to the heart. They're tough words. They're words of detachment. Because turning away from these things doesn't mean that we shirk our responsibilities to our family. To renounce myself is not to live a life of self-abuse. It is to be radically detached so that we can radically love. A few weeks ago, we heard Jesus come and say, "I have not come for peace. I've come for division." Families would be torn apart. But today, His words are even more personal than that, because He's making it very clear there's no room for fans on His team. It's time to make a choice. Either He is who He says He is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His words mean what He says, or He is not. And that would make Him a liar and a very bad man. So we have to make a choice. But with that choice comes demands and responsibilities in our lives. So we have to make a wise choice. So for that, we turn to sacred scripture. Wisdom literature, our first reading today, points out that life is a series of choices. The sacred scripture is grounded in experience. It's not just about theory. It's about real life. And just like real life, there's no one piece of advice that is going to cover every contingency in our lives, but the guidelines are there. These guidelines are there for each and every generation to live, to pick up on. They're there for each person. Part of that mystery of human life, what might seem so clear to one person, despite being raised in a very similar situation, even within the same family, the same education, the same background, why is it that one person can see things one way and another person can see things in a totally different way? We can't explain it. Science would look at it and say, "Oh, this person has this gene. This person doesn't," or "this person has another gene." It comes down, though, I think, to how we are made. Free will that God offers each and every one of us, made in His image and likeness. Wisdom literature shows us trial and errors, learning from mistakes, and then we're called to pass on what we learn. But what is wisdom, and how do we attain it? We live in a great age of information. But information is not wisdom. We can't go to Google and get wisdom. We can go to Google and get all kinds of information, but it's not the same. Then there's human wisdom and there's divine wisdom. Human wisdom is finite. It's limited. Divine wisdom is infinite. And divine wisdom is a gift that God wants to give each and every one of His children. But we need to accept it. We need to, in humility, open our hearts and our minds and admit, okay, I'm not quite as great as I thought I was. To accept it and then to apply it. St. Paul points that out in our second reading when he writes to Philemon. And his appeal to Philemon goes against all human wisdom. Philemon, he had a runaway slave. But his slave went to Paul and he converted to Christianity. At this time, slavery was a legal custom. Paul acknowledges that. He doesn't condone it, but he does acknowledge it. Life is difficult for Christians and non-Christians. And he doesn't condone Onesimus running away from Philemon either. Conversion to Christianity is not a refuge from things in our life. So Paul challenges Philemon to accept Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother. Onesimus had broken the law. He had escaped. He had run away. And at that time, that was punishable by death. But in his escape, he had come to Christ. And so now Paul sends him back as a brother. God's ways we see are not our ways. To be a true follower of Christ cost Philemon. To be a true follower of Christ cost Onesimus. It cost Paul, and it costs each and every one of us today. So we ask, what is my highest value? What is that one thing that I would give up everything for, that I would sacrifice everything for? We all have it. The problem is sometimes we're going to give an answer that we think is going to sound good, but our choices and our actions in our life don't conform with our answer. So what is that one thing? What is that one thing we would never be without? I heard it put one time in the story of a little child with their white rabbit. You could take everything from this child, but you could never take his white rabbit. Mom couldn't even get him away to wash him. He would always clutch and have that white rabbit right there. What is my white rabbit? Is it money? Power? Is it the esteem of others? As we approach this political season, this election, is it a political party? Is it my country? Is it my family? Any and all of these things are very good things. We need them all. But are one of those things my white rabbit? Are one of those things the thing that I cannot do without? Because if any of these things are my highest good, we're going to be like that king going up with 10,000 against 20,000. We're going to fail. And the outcome's not going to be good. Because none of these things bring salvation. There's only one that brings us through this world for salvation. And that one is Jesus Christ. And He calls us to Himself and He invites us to come to Him in freedom. But to do that, we need to follow that path of detachment. We need to follow that path to be able to use the things of the world, use all of the gifts that God wants to give us to bring us to Him, but not to use them to bring us to those things. And when we do that, when we don't make them idols, when we treat God as God, then we can answer the question of the day. On Christ's team, am I a fan or am I a disciple?